B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Mads, fully loaded program here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton. Dorchester. We've moved to Dorchester. Our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester.
Only 8 months ago.
Here's how you can get us. 98.5, that's the FM dial terrestrial radio in Boston. Boston only. You want to catch us across New England and the country? The simulcast on NBC Sports Boston beams across the United States, and I believe known territories. You can catch us anytime, 24-7 on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download that to your smartphone. Catch us live. The stream comes right up, or the replays that night, the next morning. You can catch up with Felger and Mads if you miss anything. That's how you get us. I think we lead with the Bruins and David Pastrnak.
I'm in.
This idiot. Do you want to start, or should I?
No, you go ahead. In fact, I'm wondering if we're on in the Czech Republic, if you have DirecTV over there.
This is not a good story. This is not a cute story. So, again, if you're just joining us or you haven't heard, David Pastrnak, out of nowhere, is not at the skate. This is how it went down, right? He wasn't at the skate this morning.
Correct.
And so, like, where's David Pastrnak? And here comes Don Sweeney right after the event to say, actually, he had a procedure on his thumb, which he injured. Did he specify break or what? It was on Sunday night?
Sunday night.
When he was out with teammates. Not in the game, not after the game, not working out, not practicing. Out with teammates on Sunday night, injures his thumb. He will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Okay, I'm sorry. Idiot. What are you doing?
Ace. Okay, but again, when you say out with teammates, he fell down.
Yeah, so he's either a klutz or he pulled a Felger from 2 weeks ago.
Okay. He fell down.
Did I injure myself, and was I unable to report to work the next day?
No, but you could have.
You were close.
Did I injure myself, and was I unable to post?
No.
Have I ever been unable to post?
Nope.
Not that I'm aware of.
Never. Not once. Never, not once. And by the way, my physical, my livelihood is not dependent on my physical well-being.
Correct.
And my body and my physical condition and all of this, as David Pastrnak's health is his job. That's his job. Okay? So, yeah, I think you can come out and sling crap on sports radio with a little bit of a hangover. Playing an athletic endeavor is a little bit of a different story, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but okay. Do you have any doubt that this is what happened?
Let's not compare the two then. So that's just what I'm trying to do. Let's just nip that in the bud, because I knew that was coming. I don't know what the hell it was with David Pastrnak.
He fell down.
I don't want to.
What did he do? Slip on ice?
I don't want to cast aspersions. Do you?
I mean, come on.
Do you want to cast aspersions?
I'm not casting aspersions. I think it's common sense. He's allowed to go out and drink. That part of it is fine. But if he falls down, I put it this way, Murray, what do you think happened?
Oh, I think he was hammered.
I mean, and we can say cast aspersions or whatever else. If I were to guess, he had a few too many, and he was walking to his Uber, and he fell, and he hurt himself, which is embarrassing.
And it shouldn't be. If you do that, shouldn't you be fined or something like
discipline from the team at the very least?
I mean,
like,
don't you
not
think?
From the league, but yeah, there should be some sort of internal discipline.
This is from the team's official Twitter account, as you posted. Pastrnak and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner. Ugh. Those sponsorship dinners, because those sales weasels, now they can drink.
Oh yeah.
Well, again, they'll drag you right down with them.
Unlike me, who all it takes is a couple Miller Lights. Those, the sales weasels.
Well, what helps close deals?
Those hangovers are well earned. Meaning, right. So there's a sponsorship dinner on Sunday night. Again, from the team's official Twitter account, at about 11:30. Lie, bullcrap. 11:30. It's like saying, yeah, I had a couple. Like, yeah, what time are you home, honey? Oh, 11:30.
I didn't hear you come in. What time did you come in?
I think it was just before midnight.
Around midnight.
3 a.m.
I'm sorry. What was that? What did you say? It was about 11:30 in the morning. Huh? What? What were you drinking? I just had a cold beer. So at about 11:30, while walking to his transportation, Pastrnak fell and injured his left thumb. The team will know better in 2 weeks, but Pastrnak is expected to return and play this season. Like, that line is ominous.
It is scary. And I'll tell you, well, keep going.
Well, no, that's it. That was the official Twitter account. And if you folks want to weigh in, Jimmy, please, if you can, release the hounds at 617-779-0985.
So the worrisome part of it to me is if it's ligament damage. Like, if it's a broken bone, fine. Those heal, no problem. Ligaments? That's a, you know, and the fact that they went in for surgery, it was either a displaced fracture, in which case, you know, the bone separated, they had to go in and put a pin or whatever else, or more than likely he had some sort of ligament damage in there. And, you know, as a result, they had to go in and perform surgery, and now it's going to take him a while to heal. And this is not a team that has depth of scoring, you know, two or three lines deep.
Oh, no, sir, just the opposite.
That can afford a guy who is, you know, one of the elite goal scorers in the league now. I mean, that's the part that's absolutely maddening.
I mean, of the one guy that they couldn't lose as of right now, it's him, you know, and that the team put it out there and that they were so descriptive on their official Twitter account. I think that they're pissed.
I mean,
and
again,
rightfully so, because I found that
point.
I found that surprising. If this was just innocuous, out for dinner, he slipped and fell, then it's, hey, he injured himself. It was an accident. That's it. They're not going to get as in-depth as they did in that post. That shows me that they are not happy about this, and they shouldn't be.
I sort of equate it to the Tuukka Rask thing, where they could have covered for Rask and they didn't. They could have covered for Pastrnak here and they didn't easily. Could have easily, you know, whatever, training, away from the facility, but training or something. Instead, you know, they give you the time of night, out with teammates, sponsorship dinner. I mean, either they're calling them out, or in hockey, it's just different than other sports. They don't lie. They're just sort of, hey, here's what happened. I mean, I don't, but. I don't know. They gave you enough to go. They gave you enough for us to say, what? What? Pasta? What are you doing?
Again, he fell on the way to his transportation.
At 11:30.
It doesn't say he slipped on ice, or it doesn't say anything of the like. It just says he fell.
They could have tempered this thing. They didn't. And it shows me that they're pissed off. And again, rightfully so.
You understand this team has only 4 forwards who score? When you look at the point distribution on this team, it's freaking insane. Pastrnak leads the team with 66 points. Marchand has 65. Bergeron has 51. Krejci has 43. The next highest forward, guess how many so again, it goes 66, 65, 51, 43. David Krejci has 43 points. Guess who the next highest scoring forward is and how many points he has.
I'm going to guess I don't have it in front of me.
Well, obviously.
I'm going to guess it's under 20. Because I know DeBrusque has like 19 or 17.
Very good. DeBrusque at 19. So they fall. Once you get past Krejci, who again ain't exactly, you know, Wayne Gretzky we're talking about here, but he's having a nice year, 43 points in 56 games. After David Krejci, it goes down from 43 points to 19. Krug is in the middle there. Krug's got 39 points, but I said forward. From Krejci to DeBrusque is the Grand Canyon. They have 4 forwards that score. 4. And you just lost the highest scoring guy. The Bruins, Maz, do quick math. You're smart. The Bruins have 162 goals on the year. Pastrnak has 66 points. He factors in every third goal.
40%.
Over 40% of the goals come from this guy. 40% of the scoring comes from this guy. And now he's gone because what?
You said 66 over 162, right?
Yeah. He has 66 points. They have 162 goals on the year. Okay? So whatever that is, that's a high percentage. That is a high percentage of your points come from this guy. And he can't get to his Uber at night?
40.7%.
40% of your scoring comes from one guy. And now so they've got a nice little cushion for the playoffs. It shouldn't kill him for the playoffs. But that line that said he is expected to return this year, since when is he not? Was he ever not expected?
Scary, right?
Ay vey.
Yeah, scary is what it is.
So that's one piece. And that should be aggravating to you. It should be. Don't injure yourself when you're out to a sponsorship dinner. You get injured in a game, you get injured in a game. You're not supposed to get injured at a sponsorship dinner.
Poor Krejci can't catch a break.
And, you know, not to pile it together, but you're not supposed to miss a weekend of games when you make $7 million a year because you have a thing with your wife or your girlfriend. Like, it's just, you know, so these sort of things I would be aggravated by if I were the Bruins. I would. As much as they're accidents or you want to help somebody, I don't mean to be cruel here, but, you know, that should be a baseline expectation. That you can make it to your car after your sponsorship dinner where you don't break your thumb or whatever the hell happened.
I mean, it's unbelievable, really. And again,
the team can't score to begin with.
Krejci finally gets a right wing and the guy can't stay on the ice.
The team can't score to begin with. And now the guy that does it the most can't get to his car after dinner. Feh. And so if it's, I mean, I don't care to cast aspersions, but that just is what it is. Whether you're stone cold sober or not, make it to your damn car at dinner when you're the guy that you account for 40% of their scoring. That's ridiculous. So that's one sort of piece. It ties into, now we're still at the deadline, and what do they have to do? I don't think this relates to them at the deadline, because you just got to assume Pastrnak's going to make it back, and he'll be fine for the stretch run. They've got, you know, what is it, 2 months to go until the playoffs. He should be back in 3 weeks. So, like, this just, it doesn't impact the trade deadline. But I meant to do this today anyway. What's your faith in Don Sweeney pulling off a deadline move?
I mean, not great. No, again, when you look at Sweeney's history, how could you possibly feel great about it?
His history at the NHL level is garbage.
See, I feel like they may have waited here too long on some level to make a deal anyway. They had all this surplus of young guys who, at the time, their stock was higher. I feel like the stock on a lot of these guys has gone down now. So you know what happens then? You end up overpaying. That's what ends up happening. But that aside, you know, to me, I told you, I have felt for a long time that they were headed for a deal. I have felt this way since before the season. I thought they were going to move Krug before the year started. That didn't happen. You know, certainly he was coming off an ankle injury. And then as the year has gone on, they haven't had balanced scoring. They need another forward. Now that, you know, they're in a situation here where they have cap room on top of it. They get all of the above. They have all these assets to trade. And they have we had the owner or owner's son basically telling us out at the Winter Classic that they want to maximize the window around Bergeron and Krejci. They're going to make a deal.
Okay. Do you trust Sweeney to do it? Do you trust Sweeney to do it? That's just a question for the people. We'll go over some of his NHL trades. It's kind of a scary, it's not kind of, it's a scary list. You know, I told you yesterday that I think they absolutely have to make a move around their depth pieces because those pieces are out there. I'm talking about third line guys. And this is, again, this ties into, you have four forwards who score. Four. Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron, and Krejci. And after that, it's, you know, the production gets cut in half. DeBrusque hasn't scored. Heinen hasn't scored. You know, for crying out loud, Corrali is your sixth highest scoring forward? You know, Backes, sorry, useless. All these guys, none of it worked. Can you go and find some third-line guys, some legit NHL third-line guys? I mean, that's just so, it should be so simple compared to the bigger deals. The third-line talent's there. It's not going to cost you a lot. You know, you want to know, but they have the seventh-best record in the league. They've been in fourth place in their division all year, so it feels like they're a bubble team. They're not. I mean, they're the seventh-best record in the entire league. So they've had a good enough year where management should reward the team and get them some real NHL talent on those middle lines. It's really not that hard. Just do that at least. And then we'll discuss putting something next to David Krejci. But he had a guy next to Krejci, and he couldn't even make it to the Uber. So are you frustrated by that? You should be frustrated by that. What's your faith in Don Sweeney? Let's start off with some Bruins talk and your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
As you could probably see, David Pastrnak was out on the ice this morning. David actually was undergoing a procedure on his left thumb. The repair was successful. David will be out of the lineup for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be reevaluated where we will likely have a more definitive timeline as to when he'll return to play.
Murray, what was the follow-up on the exact injury? You said DuPont tweeted something?
Yeah, I'm actually reading from Kevin Paul DuPont saying that it's surgery to repair a tendon in his left thumb.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there it is right there. Okay, so I happen to have the same story up. I just read the headline and stopped with the headline because the headline bugs me. Bruins forward David Pastrnak out 2 weeks after thumb surgery. Is that the story? No, the story is he fell walking from a sponsorship dinner. That's the story. Like, I think that gives him a break.
Oh, totally does. And I told you, the fear is that I said ligament, it's a tendon. Either way, you know, you're looking at an injury like that. Now, I suppose if you wanted to get super detailed about it, you say better the left hand than the right with him. The right hand is the bottom hand on the stick. So in theory, he'll have, you know, still have something behind his shot down there. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, you lost your premium goal. He's got 31 goals.
66 of your 162 points. 66 points, you've got 162 goals. That's 40% of your production.
Not to mention, we talked yesterday, where are they? They're in the top five in the league in the power play. You know why? Because he sits on that face-off circle like Ovechkin over there, for crying out loud, and rifles pucks into the net.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure what hand's more important. Left hand high? I don't know. On all the in Canada, all the righties shoot lefty because the right hand's high. The right hand's more, the top hand's more important.
For control, for power, it's the hand.
So, I don't know. We can quibble about this. The fact is he couldn't make it to his car after dinner on Sunday. That's the story. That's the story. And you should be frustrated by it, I think. Your thoughts. Steve in Providence. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nothing, Steve. What do you got?
I just wanted to know, who do you think is going to have to step up most on the Bruins' first line to make the difference so we don't miss too many points while he's gone?
Okay, name it. DeBrusque, Heinen, one of these guys that's done squat this year.
It's one of those two. I mean, again, the guy who really gets screwed here, I shouldn't say really gets screwed.
It was Krejci.
Krejci, as much as anyone. They just put him down there with him. They give him a right wing. So not only do you lose Pastrnak in a case like this, you lose a good chunk of Krejci, too. Krejci's going to be a less effective player now as a result of it.
So they had benched DeBrusque, or demoted him, you know, moved him down in the lineup. Now he's back up. So it's Krejci, DeBrusque, Solaric there on that second line, and Heinen is up with those other two on the first line. It's just, it'd be one thing if one of those young guys had popped. They haven't. And so Sweeney's got to make a move, not necessarily to get Panarin or one of these, you know, top six. He needs a bottom six. And what I mean by that, a third line guy. He needs a couple third line guys to bridge that gap between the four guys that score and all those kids that have done nothing this year. He's got to do that. And maybe now more than ever. Matt in the car on David Pastrnak. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. I just think that Pastrnak, he couldn't even wobble out to his car. I just think this is completely preposterous. You know, you want to talk about core guys on the Bruins? I mean, look at the Patriots. If we lost, like, an Edelman or something like this, you'd be furious. It really aggravates me as a fan, and it just makes me mad.
Yeah, it should. It should. I mean, I think Josh Gordon, you know, people want to, you know, because we're all saving the world. We all, you know, wanted to be sympathetic to Josh Gordon. I get all that, but that frustrated me. It's like, no, man, you gotta report to work every day. And if you don't, then, you know, who's that on? Especially on this one. And if it was any other sport, if David Price or, I mean, you name it, someone doesn't miss. Marcus Smart missed how many weeks last year because he smashed his hand into a picture frame in a hotel in L.A. because of some ass model at the Staples Center.
I mean, it's like most of February, if I recall correctly.
And we missed a good chunk of time, yeah.
We ripped him for that, and we should. And the team shouldn't be happy with this.
I can't imagine that they are. Again, like Murray said, look at the way it came out. He fell on the way to his transportation after a sponsorship dinner at 11:30 at night.
They let us know how it happened.
Of course they did. Absolutely. The thing spelled it out. He fell on the way to the car? How? How? Was there, a little too much Becherovka or whatever it is they drink in the Czech Republic?
Well, okay, you've actually looked this up, Maz. Go ahead.
So there's a couple of things over there that apparently are pretty popular. Becherovka, which I looked up, and Slivovich.
And Becherovka.
I checked the pronunciation before the show. Becherovka.
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 Yeah, and the other one is Slivovich, which apparently is some sort of plum brandy. So I don't know what his flavor is or if it's a flavor of the month. I have no idea. But whatever it is, it's costing him, and it's costing the team big.
Slivovitz, a type of raquilla made of distilled fermented plum juice. It is sometimes referred to as plum brandy.
Okay. Here we go. Taking the time to look that up.
Sure. I figure we might, if we're going to go whole hog here, we might as well know the details.
So I don't know what it is. I'm not making that, you know, leap on the face of it. I mean, it certainly feels that way. The way the team put it out led you down that direction, I would think.
I mean, so again.
But even if you're just,
we're all making that leap because I don't think it's a leap.
Even if you're just drinking apple juice, make it to your car. Make it to the car so you can post when you account for 40% of your team scoring. Brian in Boston. Go ahead, Brian.
I mean, even Sagan never heard himself walking to the car. This is bad. And, you know, the thing is, if they start dropping points, they're going to end up playing Tampa Bay in the first line. And see you later then. And I don't want to see more of this experiment of Donato up, Solaric up, trying to get Krejci working again, and that's what's going to happen. And, you know, I think it does affect the trade deadline because, you know, NHL makes a lot of trades early because the guys need to gel with each other. You try to plug in a second line like a Panarin or a Stone, they're going to need some time to play together. And I think that's going to be a big concern for them.
That second piece I'm not so sure about. The first piece, they need secondary scoring. They absolutely positively need secondary scoring. So, that was the case before this guy got hurt. So it's even more so now. Like, 5-on-5 goals, you're 27th in the league in 5-on-5 scoring. You can only score when that first line's on the ice or you're on the power play, which is essentially the same thing. So now you just lost the most important piece to it because he couldn't make it to the car. That's got to be annoying.
So the day, like you look at it, as a caller was saying, I mean, you know, right now they're in third place. But we all know that, and they're in a tough division, but the third place and the wild card numbers are all that tight.
So his first thing.
I don't think they have any. It would really take a collapse to miss the playoffs.
But it's not just that. But his whole point about if you slip, you're going to face Tampa, and it's actually just the opposite. If you can slip to the wild card, you go play in that other division, and it's actually a better road. Still no bargain, because you're going to run into the Capitals at some point, and Holtby owns you. And that's, you know, that's going to be as hard as a Tampa Bay series. But a lot of people, it is. The Metropolitan's not as tough a division as yours in the Atlantic. So if you do fall into those wild card spots, you go to the other division.
But you know what? Take that part out of it because they're going to run into some sort of buzzsaw either way, right? The fact of the matter is if they were to go into some sort of prolonged slump here because they can't score, you know, if all of a sudden they get, you know, 2 points in six games, it's a big gap still because I think Carolina is the first team that's out of the playoffs. They have 62. Okay, the Bruins have 70. That's 8 points. But I don't know. I mean, if you stop scoring goals and you stop winning games, all of a sudden the thing can tighten up pretty fast. Ask the Avalanche how fast things can change. They haven't won in about 2 months, for crying out loud, or whatever it is.
Okay, meanwhile, Sweeney, I mean, this is being kind, I suppose. Sweeney is due to win a trade. And I don't know if he's really won one. The one trade he did win, a clear win, was the Lucic trade. Where for Milan Lucic, he got Martin Jones, Colin Miller, and a first-round pick. And then he flipped Martin Jones for a first-round pick and Sean Corrali. So, like, that little sequencing right there was, for Milan Lucic, who was toast.
It had 1 year left, I think.
1 year left and was cashed. He got Martin Jones, who immediately flipped for Corrali and a first. And then got another first, just clean, for it, and Colin Miller, who then leaked away in the expansion draft, which still bugs me. Now, the problem is what Sweeney did with those draft picks, which is to this point not much. But after that trade, he traded Riley Smith for Jimmy Hayes. Need to revisit that one, do I? In 2016, he traded a second and a fourth for Suitcase Lee Stepniak.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one? That same year, that same deadline, he traded a third and a fifth for John Michael Lyles. Nope.
So they traded a second, third, fourth, and fifth for Stempniak and Lyles?
Horrible.
Wow.
That Rick Nash trade last year, a first, which is one that really... Thank you. Excellent. We've got that on file.
Yeah, no. Fitting on this particular
day. No,
that
one's ready to go. Yes, on more than one level.
Exactly.
Me in Atlanta, Pastrnak getting to the Uber. Or Don Sweeney's trade track record. A first and Spooner and Bolesky. Like, I don't care about those pieces, but for Rick Nash, you gave up Spooner, Bolesky, a first, a seventh, and then Ryan Lindgren,
the defenseman.
System defenseman. What have you done since he's gone to New York? I even kept track of that.
I don't know. Good question.
But I, like, the Lindgren one bothered me as much as anything. If if I can go back and remember. And Rick Nash, nothing. Squat, zero. You, way back in the day, was this him? Frank Vetrano for a third, not Frank, that goon that they had. What's his name?
Oh, Zach Rinaldo.
Yeah, who went to Philly.
Zach Rinaldo for a third. I think it came from Philly. That's on. Horrible. In February of 2018, last year, remember the Nick Holden trade? I bet you don't.
Oh, sure.
Rob O'Gara and a third round pick for Nick Holden. Nothing. Zero. Not that I care about either of these pieces, but it's just funny to say the name. Last February, a fifth round pick, a conditional fifth round pick for Tommy Wingles.
I actually liked Wingles.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes? No. They gave up Adam McQuaid for Steve Kamp for a fourth round pick, a conditional seventh? No. I mean, he won the Lucic trade, but what did they do with it? Again, Corrali is the only thing I like that. You know, they ended up with, what, two first-round picks in Corrali for that. And Colin Miller. They ended up with Colin Miller, Corrali, and two first-round picks. I liked Colin Miller. They let him go for nothing in the expansion draft. Mistake.
No, that trade was a steal.
Corrali's a nice fourth-line piece. Tremendous fourth-line player. And then the 2015 first-round pick, I'm not sure which of the three, but they've all disappointed. And then the 2016 first-round pick I don't even know who it was. Was it Frederick? I think it was. It was Frederick because that was at the end of the first. I think it was Frederick. Either way. So this is the guy making the trades. What's your faith in that? We continue with your Bruins thoughts after Murray's update. If you're just joining us, the very latest, they suffered an injury on Sunday night off the grid. Here are the details.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We've decided to try to balance it out to see, you know, with coming down the stretch before the deadline, whether or not, again, players being played in an elevated role in Danton Heinen's case, where Jake DeBrusk settles out in the line that he plays on, Peter Cholarik in that regard. So my feeling is that we would like to try and add without necessarily giving up what we know is a big part of our future. We committed assets last year to take a swing where we felt we needed to address an area of need, and we will try and do a similar thing this year. I can't guarantee that'll happen. This time of the year, prices are generally pretty high, but we're going to try because I think we still need it.
Don Sweeney, yesterday or the day before, the season ticket holders at the Garden about looking to make a deal. They need to make a deal. The crime, if they can't go out and for a relatively good cost improve on Jake DeBrusk's 19 freaking points, like, come on. That's not a hard one. And, you know, he mentions we gave up assets last year. I'm with you. I'm sort of done with the first round pick for a rental kind of trade. I'm not so eager on that either, so I'm not asking for that. But can you get me something that's going to land between DeBrusk, Heinen, and all these kids that have done nothing, and Krejci, Marchand, Pastrnak, Bergeron, which you have four guys who score. So somewhere in between Krejci's 43 and DeBrusk's 19 should not be hard to find.
I mean, that
it
gap
really shouldn't.
That gap really is unbelievable. That's a huge gap. And again, the only reason I knew when you asked that question, the only reason I knew the answer is because I saw the numbers this morning on DeBrusk. Someone mentioned DeBrusk in a notebook or a story this morning or whatever. And you know what number jumped out at me? Five assists. Five.
Five in 47 games.
He got five assists. Dude, pass the puck. Holy crap. Like, between him and Jaylen Brown, they never pass. Ridiculous.
And Cassidy, poor Cassidy. This poor schmuck's basically begging for it. I mean, he had Panarin on the right wing. You know, we played you all that Cassidy sound yesterday. Here's a quote from the Globe today. I don't know when he said this, last day or two. Says, yes, there's times we seem to fall a goal short, Cassidy said, so we could use that extra punch. third line center, I do believe. We've been looking at different options in there all year. To have a consistent guy in there every night would probably make it easier on everybody. So, yes, there's days like it looks like we could use a piece. And then he goes on to say there's others where it doesn't. We look very well with the group that we have. That's going to be their call, meaning the front office. I'm not skirting the question. I think that's kind of up to Donnie to go out. But I'm like, Cassie, every time you ask him, like, he's not afraid to say it.
Oh, he knows. He knows. It's so painfully obvious. Again, the only time they ever get any sort of consistent points, it's one of a handful of guys involved. That's it. It's never anybody else. It's rare. It happens for a game or two here or there, and that's it. But otherwise, all year long, it's been the same three or four guys.
Michael and Methuen. Go ahead, Mike.
You know, the first thing I thought of, seriously, when I read this morning, was I remember you a couple of years ago making comments how Pastrnak just had a hard time keeping his feet on the ice, and now he can't even do it in the street. But anyways, I was thinking, number one, I'm going to look at this with a silver lining. It kind of pushes Sweeney to do something, number one. And number two, they missed a month without Bergeron or Chara. So hopefully if they get through this, maybe it makes them stronger in the long run.
So, okay, play the sound later. But Sweeney said today it's not going to change his approach at the deadline. They're already looking. They're already looking and making calls. If something makes sense, we would do it, whether he was hurt or not. Paraphrasing. And then he said another way to look at it is that it's like we'll get a guy back at the end of the year. We'll you know, we'll be adding something when Pastrnak comes back.
Oh, I hate that logic.
Oh, please.
I hate that logic.
Weasley. Come on.
And yeah, I hate that logic always.
All teams use it, right? Like, you know, we'll get this guy back at the end of the year, and that's our trade deadline acquisition. That doesn't count.
No, of course not. And the other thing is, what is the reentry period like? You know what? You assume he comes back and he's 100% ready to go? Maybe he is. I mean, it can happen, I suppose. But the reality is he's probably going to be a little off.
We've got more of your thoughts on this. Anthony on Cape Cod. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing? Yeah, so I just want – you kind of passed over Bergeron's game against the Kings the other day, and it was just epic. And he's just a phenomenal player, gone through the injuries in the spinal, and he's just a pleasure. But, yeah, you're looking for a third-line center. We have a guy paying $6 million, David Backes. I think that's why they got him in the first place.
But killer.
He can't handle that role. It's unbelievable. And listen, I, of course you want Stone, but I think that's on. I don't think that's realistic. I think it's going to cost you too much. I think the guy to get is Silverberg. I said it yesterday.
Yeah, fine. Can he play center?
No, but you can probably get the Zingle from Ottawa or somebody else at center. But you need that right wing, especially with Pastrnak out right now.
Okay, so I won't be picky. But any third line, legit third line guy that can give me, you know, that is in the 20 to 30 point range to bridge this gap between the guys that score and the guys that don't, I'm fine with. You come up with a third liner of your choice. That's fine. Of course, he said something in there I wanted to comment on, and now I can't remember what the...
Was it Backes?
Backes, thank you. What a killer. So, you look. I mean, now we're going backward, but if you want to, you can. They wouldn't be in this mess if they had drafted better in 2015 when they had the chance. When they had those three first-round picks in the middle of a draft that was just freaking bursting at the seams with NHL players. Bursting at the seams. Before they picked and after they picked. Million guys in there. Or if this Backes signing wasn't such an abject disaster.
5 years on top of it.
He'd be the perfect guy. You know, that's it. That's your third-line physical third-line piece. Overpaid down there, but fine. If he was anywhere close to the guy that he was when they signed him, you wouldn't be in this mess. Or if you had drafted better in 15, you wouldn't be anywhere close to this mess.
I mean, this is really, when you start to get into Sweeney, this is the area that you look at and you say, holy crap, look at the free agent signings. The trades are one thing, Mike. Like, you know, and look, I'm not telling you the Rick Nash deal was a success. They didn't get anything out of Nash. What did they really give up?
First round pick.
Okay, so the pick, I'll grant you.
And that defenseman, let's see.
Okay, Spooner?
Yeah, I don't care.
And you dump Pulleski.
No, I know.
Okay, so there was some gain there, just addition by subtraction, for crying out loud. But the free agent signings? I mean, where do we start? Pulleski? Backes? Ugh. Like, go right down the line. What was Pulleski? Was like 4 years and $16 million or something.
Garbage.
I mean, they're horrendous.
So, he did sign Riley Nash in the first place. Okay, so, and he turned into a really good third line. So, can you just duplicate that? Can you just duplicate that? And he doesn't have to be Riley Nash, who had a really great year last year, but just a representative guy to fill out your roster. Your coach is basically on a campaign for it, you know, for lack of a better term. So, and you got tons of cap space, and you do have some assets. So make that move, for crying out loud. All right, so we'll hit on this all day because I think it's a it's an aggravating story for the Bruins and not a good one. Where, you know, and again, the headlines, I think the headlines are giving David Pastrnak a break. Most headlines say out 2 to 3 weeks with a thumb procedure, out 2 to 3 weeks with, like, how did it happen? Oh, he hurt himself playing. Oh, no. The story is he fell going to his ride after a late dinner the other night. That's the headline. So how do you feel about that? We'll continue with that. We do want to mix in some, well, how about the latest Celtics drama? Let's do that, too, because new day, new drama, there's always something. So we'll give you the latest on the Seas. We'll mix that in with your Bruins calls. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in a long commercial-free segment next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Filger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's gossip, but the gossip is Jason Tatum wouldn't mind. Jason Tatum wouldn't mind if he's shipped to New Orleans and has a chance to be the face of a franchise somewhere. Because he's not going to get that opportunity in Boston, at least not in the immediate future.
Jackie, do you think...
I disagree with that. I push back on that. I think Jason Tatum could have a big starring role in Boston if they stay, but he's going to be their biggest trade chip.
Wait a minute. So Jackie thinks that if they have Kyrie Irving and trade for Anthony Davis, that Jason Tatum is still going to be the lead dog in a starring role? Do you think he's going to be that good?
Yeah, I don't get what she meant there either. I don't know if she meant in a vacuum, if Kyrie were to leave, he's a guy they could build it around.
Of course. Yeah, well, then if Kyrie leaves, then he's going to be your best player. But if Kyrie stays and they trade for Anthony Davis, she thinks that Jason Tatum's still going to be front and center?
Yeah, no shot.
He's going to be the third guy there.
No, and you know what? My bigger issue with the whole thing is that this idea that Tatum would be okay with it, because Jackie doesn't refute that point.
Okay, so let's just start with that. That was Tim McMahon of ESPN. On with Jackie McMullen on ESPN, and this one dropped today that he said, and he heard it's gossip, but the gossip is that Tatum wouldn't mind if he's shipped to New Orleans and has a chance to be the face of the franchise somewhere, because he's not going to get that opportunity in Boston, at least not in the immediate future. So your thoughts on that?
I don't get this. I don't get the way the guys in that league think. And I understand that the star players make the big money and all that. I get it. Okay? But the fact is, between shoe contracts and everything else, there's a ton of money to go around. And Terry Rozier, if you remember, said something similar earlier in the year, which is why I kind of lump them together. So you'd rather be the best player on a team that sucks.
Right.
As opposed to the third or fourth best player, or maybe even second best, on a team that can win a championship?
Right, because it proves for a lot of those guys in that league, it's not about winning. It's about opportunity. Me being the face of a franchise, even if that franchise sucks, will grant me more opportunity to maybe make music, maybe have a clothing line, maybe have my own line of sneakers with Nike or whoever. It will grant me opportunity, and that's more important to a lot of players in the NBA.
I know,
unfortunately, it sucks.
It blows me away. I mean, like,
and how can you not be shocked with this kid, considering how many magazine covers and everything else he got this offseason? It's his time to shine. He doesn't want to play second fiddle to Kyrie or anyone else here.
Would you rather be Scottie Pippen or Allen Iverson?
Scottie Pippen.
Me too. I'll take the titles. Thank you very much. Fine, I play with Jordan. Okay, second fiddle, big deal. But we win.
Do you believe it?
Do I believe what?
I do.
That Tatum would rather go to New Orleans and be the number one versus be the number three here.
Yes, I do.
Oh, isn't that scary?
Yep. Yeah. I do. I believe it. Because I think, and this is part of what that sport can breed, because, you know, you look at the numbers and you say that there's a selfishness element in basketball that can really take over if you're not careful. And it becomes about you and your touches and your points. And so what if we go 45 and 37? And then by the time you're 33, you realize it's too late.
But you've gotten how many triple-doubles and you have your max contract and that thing.
Right. Russell Westbrook. How many triple-doubles in a row has he rattled off?
Who cares? Except for him and his shoe contract.
Exactly. And meanwhile, he's never going to win anything. And that's why Kevin Durant left him. Because he said, this guy doesn't get it. Well, she said, I'm out of here.
Him and Harden are two great examples. They're national superstars. They have all these, you know, they were granted all these other opportunities with shoe deals and everything else. They're on every other commercial. Do you think losing hurts them all that much? I don't think so.
No, not from a bottom line financial standpoint.
Nope.
Not one bit. No question.
They don't value winning enough.
So I have no idea if he feels this way or not. This is just one guy.
Sure, speculative.
Repeating gossip. If Tatum does really feel that way, that's disappointing, man. I mean, on a personal level, on a real level, well, that's good for you. Because if he's willing to be traded and is okay and is in a good place, yeah, I'll play out this year, play hard, and then I'll go to New Orleans, and I guess that's good for you versus him being all messed up mentally about it. I also wonder, like, I don't know, is that... Are the Celtics, like, trying to put that out there to smooth it over? Like, there's no problems in here. Actually, Tatum would welcome it because he'd win, we'd win, so it's like a way to, I don't know, sort of smooth things over with the player if the player was unhappy with the whole thing?
I don't know. I mean, I got to believe something like that would come more from the player's camp than it would the team. Because what if
Well, no. If the team's trying to make it right, if the player's unhappy, is there a way to, you know, they're trying to sell him on it? Like, look, man, you'll go and be the guy.
Maybe. I suppose, but I think that's dangerous area to go into. Now you're trying to spin it publicly on me too?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Tim McMahon's background is or where his sources are, you know, where it comes from. If this were like Bulpet or Jackie or something like that, I'd say, well, that's Ainge, you know. But McMahon, I don't know. I don't know the media angle there with McMahon. But anyway, so there's that. What else stood out to you about the coverage, Maz, today with the Celtics and sort of the fallout from the Marcus Morris thing over the weekend?
So, I don't remember what I put in the email.
Okay.
You'll refresh my memory.
Sure, there was a comment in the Washburn column today that never has Stevens had such a star-studded team with so many personal, but then Washburn wrote, in parentheses, not selfish agendas.
Right. Personal agendas, parentheses, not selfish. What's the difference? Like, so what are we going to soft-step it now? And we're going to be careful about how we phrase it because people don't like the word selfish? No, they're personal agendas. They're not selfish agendas. When you're on a team, what's the difference? There is one singular agenda when you are on a team. You do what is necessary to win. That's it.
So again, never has Stevens had such a star-studded team with so many personal, but not selfish, agendas.
I mean, I saw that and I said, come on, what are we doing here?
That is something a rights holder would have to say on the team-sanctioned pre- and post-game show, not in the Globe.
No, look, I get it. You know, and I've known Gary a long time. Gary used to cover baseball years and years ago.
I think Gary does an excellent
job. He does. He's tremendous.
Getting on the team when things are bad.
Excellent. And I get it. When I say I get it, he's got to walk in there every day, right? And to his credit, he's been able to criticize them this year pretty acutely, I would say, and still walk in there and do his job. But the whole personal versus selfish?
Same thing.
What's the diff?
Same thing.
What's the difference? It's okay. The same thing.
Okay, there's one more thing that stood out to us from the coverage from yesterday in the fallout with the Celtics. We can add in your Celtics thoughts to our Pastrnak Bruins thoughts. We'll get right to you, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.